Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Draft day. Well, the countdown is on. Mike and I will be broadcasting live tomorrow from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Following that up with a visit to Twin Peaks on Friday up in Kennesaw as we bring you round two and get ready for round two. This just in, the Falcons have exercised the fifth-year option on Keanu Neal's contract. Now, remember, he was a first-round pick. All first-round picks get that option of that fifth year. It's what we've done with Vic Beasley. They're going to do that with Keanu Neal. And listen, it's the right move when you talk about Neal and what he has done and what he's been to this team. And Dan Quinn kind of mentioned it to me when we talked to him last week about the idea of how they were going to use Keanu Neal and what he means to them. You know, not to get too football-centric here, but when he went down, Mike, it really depleted our defense in so many ways from a coverage standpoint and allowing him to still be on the field and run situations. And having him back on the field, hopefully this year, and I'm knocking on this Corian counter that our boss put in here, hopefully it's going to help us a whole lot. So I think this is the right move for a guy like Keanu Neal, even though he's coming off the injury. And I know some people are like, well, doesn't that concern you? Well, it doesn't concern the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, the one that's going to take a little more time, I think sounds like Ricardo Allen's. It'll take a minute for him to be back to being 100%, but Keanu Neal means so much to this team. And again, if you feel that safety is an issue, that's nothing they're going to address early on in this draft. But maybe for a body or two, they'll go that route. But yeah, you're right, man. Keanu Neal is just a leader on that team. Getting Debo back healthy. That's why when we have these conversations about the draft, you could make the argument that if you want to go 2011, Julio Jones type move up to get the dominant defender you think puts you over the top, there's no reason why you can't. Again, provided there's no injuries on the offensive line.
Guy Jeffrey says, put him up, see Dukes. Follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL. He says, sign Julio, Grady, and Deion long term. Well, Grady's going to get a deal. Julio's about to get his deal, we think, before the season starts. Deion, if he continues down this path, Debo's going to be here too, guys. These are, to me, our pillars. This is what we've talked about. There's a core group of guys that you're trying to build around. And in the process, you go get some other pieces, all right, that you can insert and we can play and still win, you know, a ton of games and play at a high level. But these guys are our pillars. This is, if you ask me about Falcon football right now, it's about seven guys, okay, that I got to have on this football team. We know Matt's one of them. Julio, Grady, Debo, Keanu Neal, right? You've now said, and I've said you, as in the Falcons have said, Vic Beasley is a part of that too because they're asking a lot of him and they're paying him a lot of money. And then the other guy would be true because you need a great corner and you've paid him as a number one guy. Those are the pillars right now. These other guys, Tack's got to come on, Mike. We got to see who we draft this year. But those guys, to me, they should be here.
But if you can go get a guy, like, just for argument's sake, let's just say that the Jets, who are shopping the third overall pick, and that's where you feel Quinnen Williams is going to go because it would be Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, and then boom. So if you throw that out there, he will make Grady, who's already going to earn this paycheck, better.
That's better. Like,
think of the guys Grady was next to last year. You know, they even had a situation where they were rolling Tack and Vic on one side just to try to create something there. So Dan is a D-line coach. The idea that, you know, these guys all – I mean, think about having two Pro Bowlers at defensive tackle in the middle of your line, right? And then there's no way that the defensive ends won't be better, right? Maybe Vic will get to 10 sacks. But, I mean, Tack and those guys, they would reap the benefits of that. Plus, you're still going to rotate guys in there. You're bringing not just four guys playing all game. I get that. But that's the move for me if you're going to trade up.
By the way, I left out our left tackle, Jake Matthews, because they're paying him that way too, and he is a big part of what
Zambriello is still somebody that has a lot of guys going, that's our right tackle? Because they saw the deal got done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're paying him money to be the starting right tackle.
Yeah. So – good move for the Falcons. And listen, again, this kind of stuff we have no problem with when guys have produced and shown you what they're about in a guy like Keanu Neal. And we hope that he's – again, I've seen the Instagram stuff on the gram. He looks like he's going to be back to 100% before he's actually needed to be. I don't think they're going to rush him back, Mike. We talked about a mini camp and all that stuff. I don't think he'll have to necessarily participate full bore, but he will be ready for training camp. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Braves and this bullpen. We know what the lineup's going to look like tonight, but it's not about the lineup. It's about getting outs and not putting guys on base. Mike and I will talk about that in less than 20 minutes. Right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Well, let's start first with Kirby Smart, because this will lead us into a story that is out there, and Greg McGarrity, the AD, is not really commenting on one member of Georgia's football recruiting office who's been let go and another suspended for 30 days without pay. Dog Nation reported this on Tuesday night, but this gets back to what a lot of coaches are talking about with the transfer portal, and I got to tell you guys something. Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma came out and said, and I didn't even realize this, did you know players don't even have to notify coaches that they're going to go into the portal? So Lincoln Riley said this would be like you being on the job and you go, I'm going to just go in the portal. And you don't even tell your employer, which would be the coaching staff, that you're leaving. And he said to him, that's a part of this portal thing that's got to change. So there's a ton of kids that are in the portal and just they don't even have to tell their coaches.
Yeah, it's kind of like the football equivalent of friends of ours who own restaurants in town. Guys quit and they send you a text message. You know, I've been here 3 weeks. I'm out. So I mean, you're not even getting that from your players. Yeah, they've almost swung the pendulum of the NCAA too far the other way. You're right.
So here's Kirby Smart on Sirius XM Radio talking about the fact he doesn't like the portal either.
I don't know that it's right for college football, and I agree with you. It may be good for an individual basis, but when you give kids and people an easy way out, sometimes they take the path of least resistance, and I'm of the belief people can say, well, coach, you're free to go wherever you'd like to go. We also have a contract, and they're free to fire us anytime we want. So they can fire us anytime they want us an assistant coach. Whereas for a student athlete to say that they should be able to go anywhere, I really believe that if a kid graduates now, he should be able to go anywhere he wants to go. I'm even okay if he's been there 3 years, because that probably means that he's been there long enough to realize I can or can't play. But giving kids a way out when early on it's tough and the process is hard, that's the biggest problem I have. A guy can go to one school and then a year later decide to go somewhere else, and a lot of times that's not what's best for him. And you can say it's not my job to determine what's best for him, but at the end of the day, I've seen a lot of kids leave and then they realize the grass is not greener. But I do think quarterback's a unique position, and I certainly understand it's different. But a lot of these other positions, kids just go because that's what they did in high school. If I didn't have immediate success, I just go to the next place. And that hasn't always proven to be best for kids.
It's a great point, but you got to be smart.
You got a first-year head coach at Ohio State for Justin Fields, obviously the most recent situation that involves Kirby in Georgia. And obviously we talked about it for months here in Atlanta. And now we're going to see what he does at Ohio State, and we'll see how he handles the pressure, because all eyes on him. He's chased Tate Martell out of Ohio State down to Miami.
Right. I don't even know who their backup is at this point, Mike. All these other guys have left.
So it's Justin's time to shine. Remember, of course, Jacob Eason, you're going to, in all likelihood, he's going to win the starting job for the Huskies out in the Pac-10. But, I agree with everything Kirby said. Now, I know the people out there that are snarky will say, well, a coach can promise a kid he's going to be there and he can go across the street and he can take another job. That's true. But there's got to be some sense of a commitment. Maybe it's like you want to make it a two-year. You can't – 2 years, you got to ride it out. I don't know, because some players will say that's not fair. The NCAA has just made it way too easy for guys to move along. Yeah. Don't you feel?
I do. And to me, the part that Kirby talked about is something I brought up last week, the path of least resistance. This is what I was talking about, and it's a slippery slope, because we get into this conversation about, America, and are we soft? And the kids, and kids basically running from difficult situations, Mike, and adversity. And when it gets tough, I'm just going to take my ball and go home. There's an element to that, but I also think he's absolutely right when he says, you see this in high school. And I've got high school coaches that are friends, and they'll tell you, some of these kids, they transfer because they're trying to get their name and their brand out there so that maybe they can get a college scholarship. But they've been to five or six schools because, and I'm talking about high school, right, because it hasn't worked in all these other places. So then you get to college, and there's a ton of these kids out there, and parents, you know what I'm talking about. And then you get to college, Mike, and they promise you, all right, well, you come in, you compete. And then it doesn't work. So it's already in your DNA to go, well, I'm leaving.
Well, I mean, the flip side to that is it worked for Baker Mayfield. It worked for Kyler Murray.
And that's what he was saying. The quarterback position, I do think, is different if you've got pro potential. But that's the thing. But everybody thinks they do.
But that's there's the reality check. I mean, what are you going to be? I mean, there's guys out there that who we talked about last time we went down this road, Kenny Hill, who played for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And then he went to TCU, and now you'll be lucky to be playing in Arena 2. But, I mean, if you are a quarterback, though, if you're the dad of a quarterback who's all five-star and all world, it's a different set of circumstances than a running back or a linebacker. I mean, that's so. But still, the NCAA has made it. Now, are they going to overcorrect this next year? I mean, you have 1 year where it was a free-for-all, and then they're going to overcorrect it? No, I think this is here to stay.
Well, I do think you've got to add some addendums to this. You can't just have kids going in the portal without telling coaches. That's ridiculous.
But again, you have these 18-year-old kids. You kiss their butts for 8 months or a year, and longer in some cases for the top recruits. And these kids finally get there. It's like the old Alec Baldwin joke. You're talking about making a movie. They say, hey, we're making a movie. We're going to go to Tahiti. And then halfway, you read the script and you get on set. It's like, change of plans. We're going to Staten Island. You know, so in the case of these recruits, they get there, and now they're getting yelled at. Now it's no longer the love affair. No one's kissing their butt. Oh, by the way, everybody's as good as you. Some kids aren't mentally tough enough to handle that. So there's got to be, to your point, the NCAA's got to take that into account.
It's going to be interesting. Good stuff from Kirby there. Lincoln Riley, by the way, said that he was asked the question after their spring game and stuff about this, and so he was talking about the portal as well. Coach at Oklahoma. Meanwhile, one member of the Georgia football recruiting office has been fired, Mike, and another suspended for 30 days. Greg McGarrity saying that he will not talk about any personal stuff, regardless of what the position is. I don't comment on personal decisions or matters. He was declined, and we're talking about Greg McGarrity, declined to basically answer the question whether or not any violations took place, NCAA or SEC rules were involved. So this is a completely separate story of what we've been talking about the last few days.
And these people that got have titles on their business cards, but at the end of the day, it's rather low end of the recruiting, you know, totem pole, if that makes any sense.
It does.
I mean, there's people that are, you know, involved in the on-campus visits for recruits and things like that. I mean, don't have enough to go on, and when we get more, we'll talk about it. But I don't think it's so nefarious you've got to link this to any kind of really, really bad, heavy stuff coming down on Georgia. I think this was just something departmental in the athletic department. We get more, we'll talk about it. But apparently somebody not doing the job up to somebody's expectations.
One of the individual that was fired was basically her job, her job was...
Daisy King, yeah.
Yeah, was to set up plan visits and set itineraries. So you're right. I mean, that's basically what she was doing. Now, why she was let go, we don't know, and Greg McGarrity won't comment on it. So that's out there. But, yeah, just take that for what it is. I don't think that's a bigger deal for the program either, Mike. Meanwhile, the NCAA is going to tweak the targeting rules and has ended the ultra-marathon overtime games. They announced this on Tuesday. Playing rules oversight panel on Monday will now require replay officials to either confirm or deny all targeting fouls called on the field.
All right, so you got to get that right. It's a huge momentum shifter. And if your player gets popped in the second half of a game, you lose him for the first half of that next game off the targeting when they get ejected. It's a huge penalty, and I got to be honest with you, in the SEC, they rarely get it right.
As far as the overtime, you guys remember this. It was crazy insane. LSU, Texas A&M last year. So they said, we can't have seven overtime kinds of games. Mm-hmm. So
how are they going to settle it?
Well, this is pretty interesting. That happened last November. They now say if teams get beyond the fourth overtime, all right, so it's Georgia, Florida, fourth overtime, each team will now see alternate two-point plays until one team converts and the other does not. So you're not going to have the seven overtimes with the plays and get to the end zone.
Unless, of course, everybody keeps making them.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know, you know, if this helps or doesn't, but it sounds like this is a quicker alternative. So basically you will alternate two-point plays until one team converts and the other team does not, rather than beginning at the 25-yard line like any other overtime session.
All right. I mean, I watched the that end of that LSU-Texas A&M game, which was just unbelievable. And that's a signature win for the Aggies before, obviously, you know, maybe we'll see if they can do something this year, maybe in that Georgia matchup coming up in November. But, Carl, I just don't know if you get two really prolific offenses, or what about the Pac-12 or the Big 12 where nobody plays defense? I mean, you still could have these games. I know where they're going with this. It should make it a little more difficult. But, you know, when you're not playing a whole lot of D and kids are fatigued, isn't it easier to score?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, I found it fascinating putting the ball on 25 and seeing if these teams could continue to score and stay up with each other. And they did.
I mean, what else are you going to do? You have them kick 50-yard field goals? I mean, there's really no other way to do this.
Yeah. So that's the change from the the playing rules oversight panel. So the targeting rule, and now you won't see a 7 overtime game like we did with LSU and Texas A&M. It is Dukes and Bell. We talk dogs every day. We go on the sidelines. It's brought to you by Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. If you want the ultimate man cave, these are the guys to call, dog fans. By the way, the guy I was waiting to see on G-Day, we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about the defensive side. We talked a lot about the offense. N'Kobe Dean with 5 tackles. Richard LeCount, you know, led the Black with 8 tackles. How good is this dog defense going to be? And how many of the younger guys, the underclassmen, the true freshmen, are we going to see on the field this year?
I think they're going to be able to get more pressure than they did last year. That's for sure. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. Football fans, tune in Thursday for the games draft coverage brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. Mike and I down at Mercedes-Benz in the big draft show. Wes Drewham, along with Dave Archer, Mike Conti, Randy McMichael. They'll be down there after we get done at 7, taking you all through the draft. Take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. Coming up next, Montez Sweat from Miss State joins us. It is Dukes and Bell, and I got to give a big shout-out to Brian Overstreet and the folks who are helping this man that we're about to talk to live his dreams and hopefully be a very high pick tomorrow in the NFL draft. And we're talking about Montez Sweat. His friends call him Tez, so we're going to call him Tez as he joins us here on Dukes and Bell and out of Miss State. But he's an Atlanta dude, man, and Tez, we appreciate the time, man. I know you've been busy, got all this stuff going on, so to give us a few minutes before the draft, we're really thankful for that. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. It means the world to me getting on a station in Atlanta, man.
Well, thank you, man. We appreciate that. And, you know, we know this is home. We got, you know, everybody, all your family and friends are interested in what's going to happen with you. Let's go back and talk about this process because – you know, Mike and I are looking at the metrics. We're looking at you from a physical standpoint. You're a beast. I mean, 6'6". I mean, you run a 4.440. You killed it at the combine. But let's go back to the season because you're all SEC and you're making all these plays for Miss State. Do you think you were under the radar or not? Because a lot of people were not talking about you until after the combine like they are getting ready for this draft.
Yes, I think that does get overlooked sometimes that I was definitely a sack leader in the world's biggest conference in college football, the ACC, and all that type of stuff. I mean, of course, I'm a combine warrior and all that type of stuff, but I mean, the tape is going to speak for itself, man. I think football is football.
How was the combine experience for you? Because some guys get freaked out by it. You have fun?
Combine was definitely overwhelming, man. It's a lot of interviews, a lot of media, a lot of that type of stuff. And then when you finally get on the field, it's only about 30 minutes of working out, man. But it was definitely a great experience, man. A dream come true. It's something that I always looked at when coming up as a kid, man. To actually be on that stage, it was crazy.
It is Montez Sweat, guys. Tez, right out of Miss State. He's an Atlanta guy, 22 and a half sacks. Voted first team all SEC twice, and that's the numbers we were talking about. The tape speaks for itself. Let me ask you this. What's your biggest attribute? All right, we are a team that wants to draft you. We're talking to you. We look at all the physical stuff. What are you going to bring our football team?
I think my biggest attribute is definitely my effort, man. I'm never going to give up on a play. I'm very relentless in my pursuit to the ball, man. My mentality is always see ball, get ball. Of course, I'm going to get your TFL. I'm going to get those sacks, man, but – I think the effort is my biggest attribute and what's most important in a football player.
What do you got to work on, man? What's something you look at? Because, I mean, obviously you can't coach your size and your speed. I mean, what's something you feel you got to work on for the next level?
Man, I think I can work on all aspects of my game, from pass rush moves to run efficiency, I mean, to even dropping in coverage. I mean, all that stuff can be tweaked and just it's always – that's a thing where players get kind of misconstrued at, man. You can always add stuff to your game to get better in all aspects.
It is Montez Sweat, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. Bro, I got to ask you this. You nervous? You nervous a little bit?
I mean, I definitely got a few butterflies, man. I mean, it's definitely a few butterflies in my stomach, man. Ain't no telling where I'm going to end up, man. But I'm more excited than nervous, man. I'm just ready to get back to football, man, doing what I love to do.
So you will be watching, though. It's not like you're just going to wait and get a phone call. You'll be hanging out watching it.
Yeah, I might be a little bit of watching, man. I'm just hoping my phone rings a little early, man. I'm gonna be at Topgolf, you know, just playing around a little bit, man.
All right.
Well, I got to tell you, and we've been talking about a lot of this stuff, and I know that you're probably hearing all this craziness, and you're trying to distance yourself from it. Where are you going to end up? What team really likes you? I got to ask, because you are from Atlanta. What what about the Falcons? Because I've said this, and again, I told our listeners, this is a guy's name that's on the board. Tez Sweat is on the board with the Falcons. Now, whether they end up taking him or not, but how do you feel about that?
Oh, man, that would be crazy, man, to play for the hometown, of course, man, to come back to Atlanta to play, man, that would be crazy. And Mercedes-Benz, I've never even been in a new stadium. I'm always grew up watching the Falcons in the Georgia Dome and all that type of stuff, but yeah, that'll be crazy.
Well, I mean, Dan Quinn, he's a defensive line coach for what it's worth. I mean, we've been trying to prognosticate where they're going to go, but I mean, they've got you anywhere, brother, from top 10, top 20. I mean, again, the lower, as you said, the better for you. But, I mean, you just want to get to the next level and start cracking heads.
That's all, man. I just want to get back to football.
Well, some people compare you, and I want to get your thoughts on this, just from a football standpoint. They say you can play 4-3 or 3-4. First of all, you feel like you can play either one, right? 4-3 or 3-4?
Yes, sir. And I feel like I definitely showed that in both defenses, from Ty Grimpen to Bob Shoup. I mean, I played a 3-4 my first year at Mississippi State, and then when my D coordinator left, I moved to the 4-3 when I predominantly had my hand in the ground most of the time. So I feel like I'm a very versatile athlete, man. I can do it all.
So Alden Smith is a guy that some general managers have compared you to, just from a football standpoint. Is that
man. He's a dog. He's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. Now, every time we have a guy on who doesn't go to Georgia, who grew up in Georgia, people want to know, why didn't you go to Georgia? So what?
And that, I guess that's another thing that kind of happened when I was coming out of college. I mean, I was overlooked. I mean, definitely if I would have had a UGA offer, I mean, that was I would have loved to go to UGA and get sacked there, man. But I was overlooked there, man. But, I mean, I've always been a get-it-out-the-mud type of guy. I'm going to grind for what I deserve, and that's what I've done.
Bro. You're 6'6". How you get overlooked, man?
Yeah, right. I don't know, man. I guess I'd be like I some people know. I took my junior year off in high school to play basketball, so I guess they thought it wasn't there, man. But I know I would have wreaked havoc at UGA, definitely.
What was the team that, I guess, obviously you got the Ole Miss, you got the Egg Bowl, you got that LSU, you get to play Bama every year. What was the toughest team for you to play against?
Toughest team to play against? I don't know, man. That's a hard one, man. People don't realize in the SEC, you really got to bring it every week. I can't really name like a tough team. I say you really just got to bring it every week, man.
Yeah. All you know is against Bama, you killed your guy. That's all you remember.
That's it, man. I'm working on annihilating the guy in front of me, man.
So you got Nick Bosa coming out in this draft. You probably met these other cats that are coming out. You got Kentucky's Josh Allen, Rashawn Gary from Michigan, obviously Cleveland Farrell. All these guys they're talking about, you know, and then there's your name. Are you the best of the group? Do you feel like you're the best of the group? And if so, why?
Most definitely I'm the best in the group. I mean, it's a definitely talented group, I mean, through all these guys. And I mean, I've conversed with all the guys at the combine and stuff like that, and I feel like we're good friends and even great competitors, man, but I really don't feel like anybody has the speed, the length, the versatility, the relentless, all that type of stuff to match up against anybody on that football field, man.
If you just tuned in, guys, it's Montez Sweat with us here on the Wade4.com hotline from Stone Mountain, made his bones at Miss State. And for those who didn't follow the combine, where Montez's name really kind of burst out was your speed. You talked about your speed. Are you always that fast? You have to train with parachutes and stuff? Are you always that quick?
I mean, like I've always said, I've been a dual sport athlete, man. I ran track, man. I played basketball. So I always knew I had some burners on me, man. It was just getting around those guys that was just going to help me show my best capabilities.
Now, Tez, you said you hooped, obviously, and you probably could have went on a hoop scholarship if you really wanted to. You've been watching these NBA playoffs? You pay attention to the league?
Yeah, man. I just saw Damian Lillard, man, kill the Thunder last night. Woo! But I've definitely been paying attention to that, man. It's crazy. I'm definitely still a little bit of a basketball fan, but definitely my heart lies with football now.
Right. Yeah, man, we were talking about it earlier in the show. Paul George did his job. Russell Westbrook kind of missed out on his job.
Not so much.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. It kind of looked like Paul George's fault at the end, man, because he hit the shot on dude. And I was telling my friend, I'm like, man, Damian Lillard going to pull up from half court.
And he did.
For real. And little did he know, he did.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Montez Sweat, guys, on the program. Tez, we really appreciate you jumping on with us, man. Like I said, I know it's been busy talking with your people, and we wish you nothing but the best. Hopefully we can grab you once this process is done, once you find out where you're going, because Atlanta wants to know, man, and we want to follow you. Hopefully with the Falcons. But if it's not, we certainly want to follow your career and see how things go with you. So we'll grab you here in a few days when everything settles down. But, man, we wish you luck.
Most definitely, man. I'm always going to have a home here in Atlanta. Of course, this is where my family is. This is where I grew up, man. So definitely want to keep that relationship with you guys, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Tez, best of luck, man. Have fun on draft night.
Bye.
Cool. All right, brother.
Yeah, man, the dude has got the stuff you're looking for. Now, people would say, will he be a Jason Taylor? Will he be a Vic Beasley? I mean, what's his thing? I mean, when you look at some of the draft models, they've talked about guys with the size of, like, Alden Smith.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly a lot of folks that, you know, you love the element. You can't coach the speed. That's the one thing, Carl. But he's got a combination of speed and the power, moving guys around.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys just some inside stuff about this guy. First of all, he's really reserved. He doesn't like to do a whole lot of this stuff. He is literally, I want to play football, and I don't want to deal with a lot of the other stuff. So you won't hear him on other shows. You won't hear him doing a lot of interviews. But the thing, Mike, is, and I think this is part of his upbringing, and this is what I've been told, if a coach can connect with him, all right, he's going to play well in the league. But I think that's a big part of it. You got to go somewhere where they believe in your ability, you know, and that's why I bring up the Dan Quinn thing. Quinn, for what it's worth, if you're willing to buy into Vic Beasley and trust and say, I know I can get more out of him, That's the kind of coach that Tez wants to play for, is a guy that will believe in him and he will get the most out of him.
He did really, as you said, come to the forefront in the combine. Like, let's go, you're watching, you know, Miss State football. Danielle Hunter, who was, again, drafted out of LSU, plays for the Vikings. There have been some comparisons. I mean, he's a Pro Bowler with that kind of speed and also the way he uses leverage.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. More draft coverage on the way with the Falcon Report. But coming up next, it's Yeah Man, No Man.
For Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, before we get to Bo Morgan and Yeah Man, No Man, real quick, coming up in the Falcon Report, Falcons decide to pick up a fifth-year option on a player that I think most of you will go, that makes sense. It's on the way, and also we will talk Braves and this bullpen and how to fix it coming up at 5:20 in our Strong Arm Story of the Day.
And just a story that broke this hour in the National Football League before we get to Squid Billy, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tariq Hill, no charges about him, remember, allegedly raking the arm of his three-year-old son. The prosecutor in Johnson County outside there, Kansas City, DA saying he does not have evidence that's conclusively establishing who committed the crime. So I guess either the mother or the father of the child. He also says that there'll be no charges despite the belief a crime has occurred.
Ooh.
And you and I were just talking off the air. Roger Goodell suspended Ezekiel Elliott without anything. I'm just saying, we had Tariq Hill on the Super Bowl. This all blew us away when this came out. He did have a history of violence alleged against his girlfriend. Either way, see how the NFL handles this one.
All right. Tariq Hill, man. Interesting. Bo Morgan's in here. It's Yeah Man, No Man. We say Hey Man and try Hey Man Ale if you've not tried our brew. Bo, what you got working today?
They got the 16-ounce cans in now, too.
Oh, they do.
The
thank you so much. Yeah, the bigger, the better.
Hey, some dude was drinking them. I guess Dream Theater was playing Tabernacle last night. A dude had one of the brews over there. They serve our beer at the Tabernacle.
I was going to say, remember we did the tailgate
before the SEC
the Georgia
championship?
Game? That's right. Yeah, so they had our Hey Man down there.
Oh, I thought he was tailgating and had it out there.
In the building. Yeah.
Real quick, the Tyreek Hill stuff. Yeah, man, no man, six games.
Ooh, no, man.
But, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm going back and I'm reading the story from back when he got popped. The NFL investigator said there was no reason to proceed with a suspension. The DA, now this definitely looks fishy and sounds fishy.
But they don't have anything.
But if you're not getting charged, how can the NFL deprive you of what part of the league's conduct policy have you broken? Your kid had an accident at home. That's your story. Now, again, I'm not buying it, but that's the way you can spin it.
Yeah, reprimanded. Spoken to, no suspension.
Well, the DA said that a crime occurred, but from what I read, I didn't read all of it.
But that's also his spin because he didn't get a chance to, you know, put the cuffs on the man.
Well, from what it read is Tyreek Hill used his Fifth Amendment and he got out, but well, he didn't have to incriminate himself, so they couldn't really go. And I think so did his
girlfriend
okay. And, wife. So I think that's why it went.
You're right, Bo. You can take the Fifth.
It is, but Roger Goodell can also suspend you. It's his right. All right, Damian Lillard set the sports world on fire last
Woo,
night.
Woo, did he?
And you know what? We don't just have the English version of the call. We have the Mandarin and the Korean.
Ooh.
Let's start with the Korean version of the game-winning shot.
Oh.
Day time.
Wow. Are you hear is game time.
I got to be honest. I kind of want to hear that. I'd actually roll with that throughout an entire NBA broadcast.
Man, that's very, very cool. Now, you got another version?
Yeah, we have the
Mandarin Chinese?
The Chinese call, which is Mandarin.
Can we say this, too? Because people might just be getting in their cars, Bo. Lillard had 50. He hits the game-winning three from about 37 or 40 feet from the basket.
To knock the Thunder out of the playoffs.
In
Paul George's face last night. And it was not only that, it was a walk-off game winner, which he's now had two. There have only been five in NBA history
anyway,
in the playoffs.
Bye-bye.
So that's the background of this. Who is this again?
This is the Mandarin call.
I wish I spoke Mandarin. I don't.
I take that over the ESPN NBA crew.
But, man, that excitement. And I tweeted out, Damian tweeted out his sister, who was sitting first row last night. So she's recording. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. If you miss the shot, you know. So she's recording. And he tweeted out, he said, my sister was the one that was the most lit last night. She's going crazy. You got to go to put him up, see Duke. She's like, that's my brother. That's my brother. She's just going crazy. She's on the court because she was sitting front row. And then, you know, he gets all the guys come over. But it's just a really funny video that's out there.
I just love the excitement that they have. Real quick, here's the Portland call just to compare. This is the Portland version. So there's probably a little more excitement than, you know, the ESPN call.
Okay.
Dame into the front court. 10 seconds. Lillard now out front against George. 5 seconds. George backing up. Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game. Yeah!
Ball was in the air for 2 seconds, by the way. I mean, it was literally like out of a movie. No, if you're Paul George. And then Paul George threw a little shade in the post-game press conference.
Here's the kicker. We talked about this earlier, and there's – I don't know if it's because it's the West Coast, it's Portland. This dude's game is off the charts. Lillard has been one of the best players in the NBA for the last 5 years. We just don't give him the respect or the attention that I think he deserves. And I'm not going to tell you this was personal, but he killed Westbrook in this series.
Well, there was a lot of trash talk. He didn't like – guess who was in the middle of it, guys? Dennis Schroeder in the game that they won. They were running their mouths, and the Rip City guys took it to heart. They were 5 games better than them. And what really made the difference in the series was Russell Westbrook had 2 awful nights by his standards, and Paul George actually did his job, but then said, it's a bad shot. It went in, but it's a bad shot. Which is the ultimate, again, millennial of copping out.
Yeah. So, Lillard was on fire last night. The question?
What's the damn question?
Well, thank you. The question is this one of the top 10 moments in NBA playoff history?
Yes.
Because when Michael beat the Cavs, was that second round?
First round.
Go. Well, then there you go. This isn't a conference championship, but it was a hell of a moment. And it was, I mean, it's you on one of the best players in the league. Boom, game over.
Yeah, but was that a series-winning shot from Mike? I don't remember
if that was. That beat the Cavs.
With the Cavs?
Yeah.
Because the one that everybody remembers, obviously, is the one he makes against the Jazz, which is considered to be the last shot for Jordan, but it wasn't. I said this. Ralph Sampson had one. John Stockton had one. Okay. Put the Rockets out of the series. Charles Barkley knows about that. MJ and then Lillard has two. That's it. We're talking about ending the series on the last shot.
Yeah, Lillard had one back in 14. So,
okay.
Yeah, against the Rockets.
Yeah, that's right.
So Avengers Endgame, I believe, starts tomorrow.
It does. Can't wait.
When Infinity War came out, it made $900 million worldwide, a little bit under. So many are predicting that Endgame could make $1 billion in the opening weekend. Yeah, man, no, man, it hits $1 billion in the opening weekend.
There's so much buzz about this because it ties everything together. Plus, not to mention people walking out of the previous movie like they were in a coma after what they just saw. And now you got to – obviously, this takes almost 3 hours.
It
right?
is. It's over 3 hours. Yeah.
Reviews are good. I've read some really good reviews.
I will go Saturday, mid-morning, afternoon, because the draft is on Thursday. Friday, I just don't have the time. But I know a lot of people are going. Don't ruin it for me. I do want to hear what you thought. Because the 3 hours sounds like a long time, but I think they got so much to tie in, as Mike's saying, that it's not going to feel like that. To answer your question, I'm a yeah man. There's no doubt with the buzz that it's getting, it will be a huge.
Did you see
moneymaker.
Captain Marvel? Because she's in this.
I did.
So that's part of it. If you basically, it also helps if you've seen all the other movies. Apparently,
well, at the end of Infinity War, he sends a page All right. And that's who he sent
Nick
the page
Fury
to.
Before he
Correct.
Had.
And so that set up the Captain Marvel movie, which if you're not following it.
I have not seen Captain Marvel, so I did not realize that's who the page was.
Well, everybody at the end of the movie is like, what the heck? Because it's a pager. Nobody uses pagers anymore. Captain Marvel's set in the 90s.
Right.
So that's the deal.
So earlier I was talking to someone in this building, and they made the mistake of telling me they went to Red Lobster. And I said, oh, so you had the cheesy garlic biscuits. So yeah, man, no, man, Red Lobster's cheesy garlic biscuits.
Let me tell you something. When I was coming back from the IndyCar race in Alabama, my wife's kind of become a food snob. I wanted so bad just to go to Red Lobster to get the bread and
so
just
good.
Get like 80 pounds of shrimp and stick it in my pie hole and get in a food coma. You still can't go wrong with Red Lobster, Carl.
Well, I made the mistake today, and I say this. It's not a mistake. It was delicious. I made the mistake, though, of like, yeah, I'll go eat healthy because Bo and I have been talking about this. Bo weighs like 105 pounds wet, and he's like, I'm doing well on my diet. I'm like, you know, look at me. I need to diet. So right. I'm trying to, you know, eat right. Not all the time. But I go in, and I'm like, yo, I'll have the grilled salmon. Yeah, bring me a salad. Do you want any cheese biscuits with that? Yes, bring those, please. Next thing you know, I've got like three baskets of these cheese biscuits piled up. And I'm like, well, I said I was going to eat healthy. They are the best.
Man,
they're the best.
When I was a little kid, Grandma was like, we're going to go out to Red Lobster tonight. It was fancy on a Friday, Carl. Like, I'm telling you what, I still dig it, man. That and Carrabba's are my chain restaurant.
That's what we did. We always went.
Carrabba's is good.
It was always birthdays at Red Lobster, mm-hmm. if you got it. By the way, I went to Ips Friday night. I was saying about that.
Yeah, how was
they
it?
It's great. And they have garlic knives.
Woodstock, stand up.
You talking Ippolito's?
It's Ippolito's. But it's just called Ips. It's the same people.
Right.
They may have the same big garlic knives. I thought they were smaller. They brought out the basket. I'm like, I'm just going to have one.
I could live on those things. Yeah. I had more than one.
Oh. Real quick, I know we got to go ahead in a second. Today is National Pigs in a Blanket Day. So yeah, man, no, man, pigs in a blanket.
Boy, I haven't had one of those in forever.
You know, there's a bar in South Beach that does like gourmet pigs in a blanket as an appetizer with like a spicy mustard. I mean, you can't go wrong with pigs in a blanket. That's a mainstay of your parents' 70s and 80s cocktail parties, Carl.
It really was. I'm going to say yeah, man. I just haven't had pigs in a blanket in forever.
We were at a party somewhere and they had pigs in a blanket and I just stood there and just kept eating. And it was like I was having pigs in a blanket with beer and not beer with pigs in a blanket. I mean,
Deshaun, would you call Deshaun came over one time to watch some games, and my wife made these like mini sausages, and Deshaun had like a plate full. And he's like, well, can I get some more? Those weren't pigs in a blanket, though, right? It was just the sausage?
By the way, Deshaun, he's our guy who writes our basketball blog. He weighs less than Squid. And we always joke around. When he eats like a Swedish meatball like at IKEA,
it
looks like a python eating a rat. Yeah. You know, you see the lump going down his chest.
Yeah. He's like, can I get some more of those? But I like pigs in a blanket. I just haven't had them in a long time.
You're right. Skinny jeans are loose on him.
He's skinny, dude. By the way, he still thinks he can run a 4.44.
Hey, Bo Morgan, great job.
Hey, what was your joke last week about it? You said it won't take long?
6 seconds. Hey, that's
man.
How long.
All right, Falcons, they offer an extension to somebody, and it's the right play. We'll talk about it.
What you know about the game, Granddad?
I know the game.
Taking women out to eat, giving them free meals? What part of the game is that? You taking her to Red Lobster with the cheddar biscuits. The fam ain't eating cheddar biscuits, but this random broad is eating cheddar biscuits.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.